John chapter 1, verse 11, for a springboard tonight. John 1, 11. Never win a sword drill up here. John 1, 11. That's New Testament, right? John 1, 11. All right. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we have the opportunity and the privilege to learn more about Jesus. We have your word. We have your Holy Spirit. We have faithful Christians growing in the Lord, gifted. Father, that we could minister to one another in whatever portion of faith you have given us in that respect. And Father, we do thank you, and we do praise you for that. Dear God, I thank you for the good services this morning, Sunday school for the children, the adults, the worship hour. Father, I thank you for our meeting here tonight. I thank you for Sister Steffi in the nursery, filling with your spirit, watching the children. And Father, help me also tonight. Fill me with your spirit, ministering the word to your church. And God, give us understanding. Might we learn things? Might we be have questions that you would, Lord, compel us to research and find out as we read your word and read more. There's always things that are answered and things we wonder about more, and that's a good thing. Father, I pray you just keep us growing and searching and receiving the truth and applying it to our hearts and lives. And thank you for your grace and goodness to us, and edify your church tonight. And Lord, help us to be more like you, and I pray you'd be pleased with our worship today, as we worship in spirit and in truth. And Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Don't have an outline for you tonight on the overhead, so PowerPoint or... So we've been looking at the importance of Israel and... the distinct service and blessings that God had upon Israel as a nation. And we've seen what an important part that has played. Actually, in a major part of our Bible, two-thirds of our Bible is the history of Israel and what God was doing through them. And all of that was to come bring us to the point where we will see how that this fits with our belief in a pre-tribulation rapture. We saw the 70 weeks in Daniel that were determined upon Daniel's people. We saw that in Daniel 9. We saw that the first 69 weeks were all fulfilled literally. The first 69 weeks, so that was 483 years, something like that. That was right up to the time from that decree to the time that Messiah, that Christ entered Jerusalem there. Some believe it could be measured to the day even. Certainly it's accurate, we believe, to the year. And so those first 69 weeks. Then there was that 70th week. Oh, the different interpretations on that 70th week. Well, we believe in a normal interpretation of the Bible. If it's speaking literally, then we take it literally. If the context shows us it's speaking figuratively, we take it figuratively. We have no reason to take something literal figurative or figurative literal, either one of those. So we a normal interpretation. And it's obvious that the first 69 weeks of Daniel were years, periods of seven. Why wouldn't the 70th week be? Certainly it would be. So we see the folly interpretations that make that 70th week, like the people who don't believe in any millennium. Well, the 70th week is just the church age. And by the way, they too agree the first 69 weeks were literal years. But for some reason, they allow in their interpretive method to use that 70th week differently. Well, we're not going to do that. We're going to be consistent in that. So we've seen this great blessing that God has upon the nation of Israel. We saw a time of great trouble appointed to them yet to come, referred to as Jacob's trouble by Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah. We saw a time of great blessing appointed where Christ rules, where Israel is exalted, as we refer to as the millennium. We saw that. And these things yet to come. So today we're just going to kind of begin and look. Where is Israel from the first century forward? What are we looking at now? How will this fit in? How will this confirm our belief in a pre-tribulation rapture? Well, and so John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. What's he saying there? Well, what's he saying there is what we gather from the context of the whole Bible and everything around it. His own received him not. The nation received him not. The rulers, the elders, their official proclamation was, this is not our Messiah. And not only the nation, but no doubt most of the Jews, not only the leaders of the nation, but most of the Jews at that time, what? Did not believe. They received him not. Was it all of them? No. But as many, what? As received him, there were some. That's what Paul tells us later. Who did receive him? To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, both Jew and Gentile. So Israel as a nation said, no, not our Messiah. That's what happened. So the nation that was once blessed, the nation that was a vessel of God's blessing, he gave them many blessings, brought the scriptures through them, brought the Messiah through them, the Davidic covenant, the Palestinian, all that, said to the Lord, no, we don't want you. Set aside. Not enjoying the formal usefulness that they as a nation did earlier. And so we see that they as a nation reject Christ. In Acts 13, Paul is preaching away in Acts 13:45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Where did Paul go when he did his work? He always went straight to the synagogue, remember, first. They were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken of by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, how'd they do that? By not believing. By not believing, they judge themselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. There's the turning. Now we're going to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. By the way, that word there, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, is translated one other time in the New Testament, and there it's translated addicted, and it talks about the house of Stephanus, I think it was. I may be wrong on that name, but they had addicted themselves to the ministry. Same word there. So these right here in this passage here could also be interpreted, they ordained themselves to the ministry, or they ordained themselves to eternal life. How'd they do that? By believing. You see, just as some were zealous in the ministry, they addicted themselves to the ministry. When these heard the gospel, certain ones, they were zealous to believe. We believe that. And so they were ordained, and they were ordained to eternal life. It's not teaching what Calvinists would use that for. So Israel stumbles in Romans 9. They don't believe. Romans 9. Different interpretations of Romans 9. Some believe that Romans 9 1 and following is talking about individual salvation. I do not believe that. We see here a corporate election, a corporate calling. And by the way, in case you're wondering what the interpretation of Romans 9 is, why wonder? It's summed up for us at the end of the chapter. Romans 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? Now he's going to tell us what he's been telling us in chapter 9. In case we have assumed things different than this. That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness. Even the righteousness which is of faith. What was Paul preaching all those chapters in Romans before Romans 9? The righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ Jesus. The righteousness of God, which is by faith without works. The righteousness of God, which is without the law, is manifested. That's everything he was teaching in those first chapters. The Gentiles attained to the righteousness which is of faith. They believed. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Why? We don't have to wonder why he tells us. Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. They stumbled at the stumbling stone. Oh no! It's not just believe in Jesus. You must come through the Jewish law also. No, that's wrong. It's believe only. They stumbled at the stumbling stone, you see. And so they didn't believe. As it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever will and can believe on him, you'll not be ashamed. You don't believe on him, you'll wish you did. Ashamed also has the idea of being confounded, being stumbling and such. And God has appointed that all there at that time that did not believe on him would stumble in that unbelief. He didn't appoint their unbelief. He appointed their stumbling after their unbelief in Romans chapter 9. So Romans chapter 9, we see, beginning in Romans 9, 10, 11, we're in the first century, and we see Israel's past, Romans 9, Israel's present, the first century, Romans 10, and Israel's future, Romans 11. You'll see those, studying those chapters out. So Romans 10, we have our, we go to there for the plan of salvation, the Romans row. We all know Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Great salvation verses. You see, because Romans 10 is Israel present in the first century. How was God working to the world then? Through the church. And guess what? Israel has no special, as a nation, no special exaltation there, do they? They get saved how? Just like we all do. By grace through faith. By faith, salvation has always been by faith. They get saved by faith, but how are they useful? Are they useful through the nation of Israel? No. It's the church there. It's the church there. They get to be back into God's instrument on the earth is the church. Any Israelite who wants to get in Romans 10, gets in the same way the Gentile does, but their usefulness has changed not to the nation of Israel, it's through what? Through the church. By the way, which Peter calls a what? Holy nation, a peculiar people. So in the sense, in the church age, God's using a different nation. It's called the church. He's not using that nation of Israel that he was in the Old Testament. And so we see that, that's why we see the plan of salvation and all that in Romans 10. And then the Apostle Paul, as he preaches all that and realizes what he's been teaching and showing that the Gentiles, that Israel as a nation, has been set aside. And God is, before God would, in the Old Testament, God would, we see some examples of those that were believing about, like, you know, Abraham before he was a Jew. We see, others believing, But we see God using the church, you know, to draw people in. Israel didn't receive Christ as a nation. They stumbled. But Paul, as he preaches this, salvation is now offered to the Gentiles. You don't have to become a Jew. You don't have to become a Jew. You have to go through Judaism. And so Paul, well, what if the Gentiles now begin to get a little bit proud? Oh, Israel blew it. God's coming to us now. Israel just couldn't do the job. Now it's going to be us. It's going to be the Gentiles. Well, listen to how Paul deals with this, Romans 11, 13 following. I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Verse 20. Well, that's right. Because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. And he goes on for explaining, verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Sion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them whom I, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. Now what is God saying here in Romans chapter 11? What is this vine? Well, let's consider from the truth we know of the scripture, let's consider something it is not. This cannot be talking about an individual's salvation. It can't be. Why? It can't be addressing an individual and their particular salvation. Why? Because if you look at this vine, we have some who were a part of the vine and they were broken off. Can anybody be saved and then not saved? No. That can't refer to an individual's salvation. You can't have been saved once and now you're not. Some of Israel were part of the vine and they were broken off because of unbelief. Were they ever saved? I don't believe so. Those who were broken off, what? Didn't believe in Messiah. But they were part of the vine. They were broken off when they didn't believe in Messiah. Right? That's what it says. And then Romans 11 says if thou, of course, and it's the subjective, there's some room for doubt there because it uses the term, if thou wert grafted in. So Paul is using let's suppose this, if the natural branches were broken off and you being a wild olive branch, Israel had the pure gospel and had the words of God, the law, and Israel was a cultivated vine, so to speak, and the Gentiles would be referred to as a wild vine, a wild branch. So if some of the natural branches were broken off and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in place the ones were broken off, boast not against the branch. He says they were broken off because of unbelief. Right? And then he says, let me see. Verse 22. Behold, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell, severity. Unbelieving Israelites were what? Broken off. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. What's he saying there? Can't be an individual salvation. Can't be. Because you can't get saved and then be cut off. Okay? What Paul is talking about here, he is magnifying his office as an apostle. Look at verse 30. What shall we say then? Nope, I went back too far. Verse 13, he says, look at verse 13, Romans 11. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. So, he's speaking to the Gentiles. Not any specific individual Gentile about their salvation.
just that the opportunity has been given to the Gentiles. He was to take the gospel to the Gentiles now. I speak to you Gentiles. And when he says, when he speaks to Israel, he's talking about Israel as a nation. Not any particular Israelite. Any of Israel who would believe. You see what I'm saying? So, let's look at it with that light. Any Gentile might think, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Oh, I understand this message. Say, just a Gentile mind might think this. Israel has been set aside. The gospel's now coming to us. Boy, I thought we were doing pretty good. God likes us. Paul says, watch out for your pride. Generic Gentile, so to speak. No individual person, but I'm the apostle to the Gentile. Watch out, Gentile, any one of you. Lest what? Pride come into your heart. And you think that because of something good in you, God has turned from Israel and given you the opportunity. Why? Because, and Paul reminds him, he says, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Thou standest by faith. By the way, he says, if thou wert grafted in. If you got grafted, he didn't say they did. He says, if you were grafted in, thou standest by faith. You got to remember the ifs there. So he says, if you're grafted in, you got in by faith. By the way, if you're standing outside there and you're saying, well, I'm glad God finally realized how wonderful we are. I think I'll get saved too. Guess what? You ain't getting in. You're not going to be a part of what God is going to use. Of what God is going to use there. The branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. If God spared not the natural branch, not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. It was their own pride. The natural branches are Israel. Okay? And that's God working through Israel. Not talking about their individual salvation. It's God working through Israel. The wild olive branches are the Gentiles, which are now being included in this offer of salvation. And so he tells them that. So if God, the natural branches were broken off. They were of Israel, but like Galatians, they were not the Israel of God. To be the Israel of God, you had to be what? Of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of the faith of Abraham. Amen? You could be have your lineage from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and not have Abraham's faith. And if you were not that, according to Galatians, you are not of the Israel of God. Those ones, they were part of Israel, of that nation that God was blessing. There were a lot of individuals within Israel that got blessed that didn't believe, I'm sure. And those unbelievers were what? Broken off. They were broken off. God set that nation. By the way, every one of them, those unbelievers, any of them a part of the church now? Not, no. The vine that God was working through was Israel. But every one of those ones in Israel that said, we don't believe the Messiah, guess what happened to them? They got broken. They got moved aside. The nation got moved aside. And now God's using another nation, the church, which includes all Gentiles, and any and all of them who will believe, and all Israelites, any and all of them who will believe. And so he says, they were broken off. Why? Because of pride. We're Jews. You got to go through Judaism. You're trying to tell me that they can just believe without Judaism? No way. And so they didn't believe. And what happened? They lost their opportunity. They were broken off. Matter of fact, God said, the Bible says that God blinded their minds after their unbelief so they could not believe in order that Christ could be crucified and accomplish what God wanted to accomplish. Now that blindness wasn't permanent because we read here in Romans 11, he says in verse 23, and they also, the ones broken off, if they abide not still in unbelief, that's why they're broken off, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. You see, they can be grafted in again. Now they'll be in the nation of the church, because Israel is set aside, but they'll be in God's line of what he's using, you see there? But the Gentile, if they say, well, God's picked us because we're good, they're going to be broken off, lose their opportunity
just the way Israel lost theirs. Think about this. He says, I speak to you Gentiles, verse 13. So he's speaking to Gentiles in general. And they, he says, behold, therefore, behold, who? Gentiles. Behold, therefore, the goodness is very of God. On them which fell, who's that? Israel, particularly unbelieving Israel. Severity. But toward thee, who's that? Gentile. Gentile. Not saved. Toward thee, Gentile. Toward thee, Gentile, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, what do they got to do? They got to believe too. They got to believe just like Israel did believe. God is sending the gospel to them. He's convicting them. And he says, toward thee, goodness. What's the goodness that's toward thee? The salvation has been offered. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Guess what? If you don't believe, if you're prideful, you're not going to get in. You won't be in the church. You won't be in the nation that God is using now. You won't be included either. Can't be talking about any individual's salvation, because some were in and are broken off. Some, it seems, could be in, but can be broken off. And so that's what he's saying there. It speaks of the opportunity of salvation. In Acts chapter 11, let's look at that from Acts 11, 18. This might help clear that up a little bit. Acts 11, 18. Now, Peter has gone to Cornelius, and at the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he has witnessed to Cornelius at God's command. Okay, and now Acts 11:1. The apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. They hear about this news, okay? And Peter tells the whole story. I remember about seeing the sheet come down, and Cornelius had been praying, and Cornelius was obviously a believer. He was not a proselyte. He was not a Jewish proselyte, but he was a believer. And he had believed in God, and God took note of that, and God realized it was time for some more revelation for Cornelius, and so he sent an angel and said, go, send for Peter, he'll tell you what you need to do. One place, the Bible called it God giving him a warning, but he did send Peter to Cornelius. Peter no sooner gets the gospel out of his mouth than what happens? He says, Peter says, and God gives the Holy Spirit to all who believes, and what happens? Immediately before he can even finish his sermon, Cornelius and all there in there, that they get saved. They hear this story. Peter is telling this story to the Jews, to those that have heard it. Okay, and he's told this story in Acts 11. Now look at 11:18. What do they say after they hear it? When they heard these things, they held their peace. What were they saying before? Some of them were thinking, wait a minute. You can believe in Jesus, but you still got to come through Judaism. That's what a lot of them were thinking. Peter says, I didn't find that to be so. By the way, these were Gentiles. Cornelius obviously was not a proselyte. He would have lost his job as a Roman, as a centurion. So they hear this news. And what do they say? Well, Peter says in verse 16, then I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And John says, and Peter's recognizing, and they were. He says, for as much then as God gave them the light gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I should withstand God? And the Bible says, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. What did they realize? They realized, contrary to their thinking, Judaism was out.
Now it was faith alone. It was faith. God had granted them the opportunity to be saved. That's obvious from the account that Peter gave of the incident. And their understanding of that was God has granted them the opportunity, repentance, until God has included now the Gentiles. Before we looked at them, and when they began to seem to be following, we brought them into Judaism. Now we realize, wow, they got the Holy Spirit without that. And by the way, don't need that anymore. You see the difference? There is the difference between what we might call the nation of the church and the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel wouldn't let go of Judaism. And God says, okay, then now I have the church. I'll get back to the nation of Israel later. But because of the unbelief in my son only, not letting go of Judaism, that vine trying to hang on to all those things that were just pictures, Israel as a nation, not any individual one, anyone out of there could have believed and gone on to be used of God. You see what I'm saying? Anyone out of there could have believed. But the nation of Israel got set aside. And now it goes to Jew and Gentile who believe. And so we see God changing the direction and what he is using the church now. And Paul looking ahead, the Gentiles recognizing this, someone perhaps even before they got saved. Well, if you did get saved, then you get saved by faith alone. Don't come to God prideful, or you won't get in either. And you'll lose your opportunity. And by the way, the church age, Paul says, otherwise, right now God's using the church. He says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, Gentile, that's who he's talking to, on them which fell severity. But toward thee, Gentile, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And what do we read in the scriptures? That blindness in part is happened unto Israel, what? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Blindness in part. So God says, Gentile, don't be proudful. What if the Gentiles got proud and began believing that this switch had happened because of some goodness in us? Would we have saved Gentiles very long? No, we wouldn't. Because if the Gentile mind began to think, and even believers began to be deceived and teach, that somehow God turned to us because of something better in us, you know, Israel, they rejected Christ, not us. Whatever kind of faulty thinking you want to add there. What's going to happen eventually? Gentiles aren't going to be saved because you're turning away from the faith. Pride has entered in. And that means that's time. That could bring to end what? The church age. The church age. When is the church, as we know it, going to be taken out? As far as the focal point of God's use. At the rapture. We're going to be taken out, aren't we? And so when God's done with the church, guess what? We're going. I know we often think, well, you know, God's going to keep us until, you know, the last person to get saved, then we'll be raptured out. Well, that may be true, but that could come because of one of two reasons. It could become because the world's gotten harder and people just aren't receiving, or it could come because the church has gotten what? Dull. And the message just isn't getting out. And the church isn't doing what we're supposed to be doing anymore. And God says, okay, I'm done with that now. You have done your fullness. The church as a whole, by the way, most of the churches Jesus addressed in Revelation 2 and 3 had problems, didn't they? And by the way, they were rebuked, most of them. It could be that the church comes to a place where we're not doing what we're supposed to do. That could bring to end the church age. And God's saying, okay, I'm moving back, because we're going to go back, and I had hoped to get further on this tonight,
But he says he continues there. If Israel don't abide in unbelief, they'll be grafted in. God's able to graft them in again. He says blindness in part has happened to Israel, verse 25, till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Sion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Listen, God is going to move once again from what we might call, as Peter called at one point, the nation of the church, back to the nation of Israel. He's going to make that move. And that move's coming. And all Israel will be saved. By the way, if you want to consider how that's going to happen, I'm going to have to spend one more week on this. I'm not going to try to cover it tonight. But you can look at Ezekiel 20, 33 and following, Zechariah 13, 8 and following, Matthew 24, 15 and 16, Revelation 12, 6, all show us just what God means when he says all Israel shall be saved. We're going to see how he brings, what it means, how he brings that about, because it's going to shift back once and again. It may well be because the church becomes dull. It may well be because we get too focused on worldly things, that finally the rapture comes. Now, individual believers, what? Those that have been faithful? They'll be rewarded, you know. God's not going to be, you know, he's not going to be upset with the whole, with every single individual in the church because the church didn't do her job. You know, see what I'm saying? He's going to reward us, what? Individually, isn't he? Oh, but well done thou, good and faithful servant. That's how he handles us in heaven. But when he speaks to us on earth, how did he speak to those in Revelation 2 and 3? The church. He spoke to them all. Through the pastors and such, because that's how he works through it. So individually, yes, it would be those particular ones that got dull who would be addressed for that and lose rewards and such, and those particular ones that were zealous. But the fact is, the age could end because the church, what in general, got dull and didn't do her job. So what can I do? The best I can do is be the Christian God wants me to be. Amen. What can you do? The best you and I can do is not be one of those dull Christians. Amen. Let's be one that shines. And that's all we can do, is we can draw close to God and be what he wants us to be. And then hopefully we'll be an encouragement to another, not to become one of those who, like the Hebrews at one point, became dull of hearing. And we can be zealous and be putting out that gospel. In the next week, we're going to finish it. I'm not trying to finish it all tonight. One more week on this, and we'll wrap it up, and we'll show how this 70th week of Daniel is further confirmation that we're right, and that the Bible does teach in this pre-tribulation rapture that the Lord speaks of. Heavenly Father, God, these things are not light things that we speak of. They are deep things, and there's much misunderstanding among many regarding these things, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would help us and give us understanding. You have ordered this dispensation of the church and all the revelations that you gave to the Apostle Paul that were not revealed in the Old Testament. They were mysteries. Rapture is a part of that, and it wasn't revealed to Daniel. It wasn't for God. It wasn't for Israel as a nation. And so we see that this age was not revealed to Daniel. Those things revealed to him were concerning his people. It fits all that your word has said, God. We thank you for that, and I pray you continue to give us understanding as we. In the next lesson, Lord, should you tarry, we'll look at how also that we as believers, as the church, were not a part of any of the 69 weeks that were for Israel, Daniel's people, and we won't be a part of the 70th week. We'll be excluded from that as well, as you'll turn once again to work through Israel, even as you have said time and again through your prophets. And that time is coming. And we actually, as Gentiles, may be instrumental in determining exactly what time that would be. But Lord, help us to be lights for you and zealous for you, dear God, that we might be used in the church and that we might not be be dull in spiritual things, that we not might let our burden get, our fire get doused. We might not quench the Spirit as you're trying to lead us and trying to make us more like you and helping us to be life to those that are around us, both in the way that we live and in the gospel that we share. And Father, we thank you. We praise you. I thank you for this church, and just pray you'd help us and continue to give us understanding as we learn and grow in thee. And Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.